But at this time, if you will, pray with me and pray for me that God will just bless our time in His house together tonight. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without You, and God, I pray, dear Father, Lord, as we stand here tonight, God, I know that I'm not worthy. God, I know that there's nothing in me that's good except for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Your Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. But God, I pray as we stand here tonight that You'll allow us a few minutes to study Your Word, that You'll help us to clear our mind and clear our hearts. And God, that You will help us in some way in our life, God, that we may draw closer to You as Christians. I pray most of all for these one listening tonight that's lost, that don't know You as their personal Savior. I pray that You'll help them to see that need through something that's said or done, maybe a comment that's left there on the Facebook page. Whatever it is, God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll just speak to their heart, they'll see their need for a Savior, and that they'll accept You before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray, dear Father, for the request in our church. God, You know each and every need. There are some that's been text to me throughout the day, some on Messenger, different things. God, You know all of those needs. God, You know exactly where every need is right this very moment. And God, I ask You to touch in those needs. God, I thank You and praise You that You love me enough to allow Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for me. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Tonight we're going to be back again. I know the last couple of services it's been a little different, maybe just for me and for me getting started. It seems like it's a little difficult to get started, but we've kind of been talking about maybe some current events. And Sunday, you know, was Flag Day, and we went through what the flag means to me and then tied it back into some scripture. And Monday morning, first thing, I was accused of going on a rant about the flag. No, I wasn't going on a rant about the flag. I'm just very passionate about our flag and what it means to me. And if you think it's a rant, go back and play it again. Maybe it'll hit you different this time. But anyway, so we talked about that a little bit. And then I know last Wednesday night as we were together, we had a little bit of straight talk. And we went through some different things on that. And tonight, again, I want us to talk about some situations and some different things going on. And kind of, I know it seems like we're staying in that current event kind of thing, but man, there's a whole lot going on around us right now, ain't there? There's a whole lot going on in our nation, a whole lot going on in our world. We're seeing foundations being laid that is fulfilling the Word of God right now. And I'm not going to get into a whole lot of the prophecy that's in the Word of God. For one thing, I don't want to confuse you and I don't want to be wrong. Because when I get into some of that, sometimes I even have trouble understanding some of it. So as we, I don't want to get into a whole lot of that tonight, but I want us to look at some current stuff that's going around us tonight and going on in our country. And as we think about that, and as we think about something, just tried to attack me right there, I'm sorry. As we think about that, and as we think about some things that's going on, and you say, well, preacher, I don't know that the pulpit is the right place to talk about current situations and current events and things that are going on. Well, you know what? We flip open our Facebook and we get flooded with information from there. We turn on our TV, we get flooded with information from there. We read this and read that and we get flooded from information from all of those places. So why not take a few minutes and look at God's perspective on some things that's going on around us? And one thing that I always promise you that I'll do my very best to do is to leave my opinion at home, leave my opinion outside in the car. If you want to know my opinion sometime, you call me on the phone and I'll discuss my opinion with me, or we'll talk about it outside or wherever you want to. But as far as my opinion in the pulpit, I'll do my best to leave that out. But I think one thing that we fail to do sometimes is to get God's perspective on what's going on around us. So I'll do my best again tonight to leave my opinion out and go straight off of God's Word. So as we look at the situations that's going on around us, some of the issues in our country, some of the things that we're facing right now, I believe that some of the things that we're going through right now is an absolute direct result of decisions that have been made in the recent past. As we look at what we're going through as a country and as a whole, and you know, we've all talked about it for years. We've all talked about, well, we've done this wrong and we've done that wrong, and we should have stayed with God and we shouldn't have turned our back on God. And we've talked about that for years, and now we're starting to see some of the fruit of that. We're starting to see some of the results of some poor decisions that have been made in our country as we go through the days that we're in right now. And you could talk about things as much as prayer being removed from schools. You know, I can remember going to kindergarten and standing up and having a Pledge of Allegiance in the morning, having a devotion, and having prayer in school. I remember that. And now that doesn't take place anymore. I remember growing up, and as that kind of went away, I remember my dad sitting down with me and saying, you can still take your Bible. You can still have your devotion. You can still pray. But as far as having a corporate thing in the classroom, we didn't have that any longer. So you could blame something as much as prayer being removed from school. You could look and you could say, well, there have been laws that have been passed against God's word, and that goes completely against what God says. And that's we're getting the result of that right now. And we all know that that's true. We know that there have been things that have been passed through our court systems, and there's been things that our country has decided to make laws on that is against God's word. And you could say that we're in a result of that right now. You could say that we're in a result of our churches being watered down and conforming to the world. You could say that tonight. As you look around at churches tonight, as you look around at the church as a whole, the church has been watered down and the church has conformed. And I'm not talking about music. I'm not talking about different versions of the Bible. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about actually standing on the Word of God. Our churches have been watered down and we have been conformed. And we are in a result of some of those decisions right now. There are so many things that you could talk about tonight and look and say, we are now in a result of some of those decisions that have happened. Church, are you still with me tonight? Amen. Okay. So as we look at where we're at tonight and we look at some of the decisions that have been made and have taken place, and you could say all of those things are the reason that we are where we're at tonight. And I do believe that all of those things have impacted and have caused some of the things that's going on in our country, in our nation, in our world. But I want to take you to a verse of scripture tonight that I believe is most responsible for where we are tonight. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. I'm going to stop reading right there. Now, all of these other things are kind of like going to fall under an umbrella of what we're fixing to talk about. Because I believe that we are in a day and a time when our children have not been trained. We're in a day and a time that our children, they have been trained, but not by God's word, not by the thing. And you say, well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? We know that your kids play sports and they've played sports on Sunday. And I don't believe that you have practiced what you're preaching. But you know, there's a lot of things that take place in our lives. And we can still point our kids to knowing that God is number one in their lives. But as we look at some of the things that are going on in our nation, in our world tonight, I believe that you can go back to our home situation and you can see that kids have not been trained. I got to go back to something that I used to do that makes sense to me. Let me give you a word picture. I used to break horses. I love to break horses, and I got to where that I can make just a little bit of money at breaking horses. And when I say a little bit, it was a little bit of money that I made breaking horses. And I used to take people's horses, and I'd say, bring me your horse. Bring me your two-year-old colt, your two-and-a-half-year-old colt, and I'm going to put 30 days riding on your horse for this amount of money. Now, what was important is that I had that horse every single day, and that every single day that I would go out there and I would spend time with that horse. I would start with one fundamental, and I would teach that horse what I wanted him to do, what I wanted her to do, and what I expected of that horse. And then the next day, I would add a little something to it and go back and review what we did the day before. And as we went through the 30 days, I would spend time with that horse every single day teaching it, training it what I wanted to do. Now, after 30 days, that horse was not broke. That horse was in a place that someone could go get on it, ride it down the road, ride it across a creek, that hopefully, prayerfully, that the owner would not get hurt when it took it back home, and that they would be happy with the work that I had done for 30 days. But every single day, I spent time training that horse. What I'm afraid of is that nowadays, the way that we are, and when I talk about training up a child, I think that we do some training with our children, but we don't train them every single day. Today, we may train them. Today, we may take out the Word of God, and we may train them about loving God and God being first in their life, about God being number one, and then tomorrow, TikTok may be training them. Amen? Okay. I know it's not like we want to admit to this stuff, but I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on that we're not training our children. There are things, there have been people that have come to me and say, well, you know, Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6 says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not depart from it. And I have done that. I have trained my child. I brought my son, my daughter to church on Sunday morning. I brought my son, my daughter to church on Wednesday night. But what about the other 5 days of the week? Have we, you know, there's more than just bringing your children to church about training them. And I believe that we have got a couple of generations behind in that. I believe that my generation, the generation behind me, I believe that we're missing some time that we have had to train up our children. We have generations that are coming up now that have not been trained. They do not know how to feel about sin. They have no idea how to feel about sin. They don't know what sin is, because we have watered down God's word. We have conformed to the world. The Bible tells us, be ye not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're living in a day and a time that our children have not been trained. We have kind of, hey, I'm guilty of this. I have been to the place that we just turn our blind eye to what's going on around us. We have not trained them to know what sin is. They don't know whether this is right or this is wrong, because we as adults, when we have, as parents, we have excused sin in our own life. I know this is not an amen message. This is stepping on my toes. We have excused sin in our own life because it was pleasing to our flesh for a moment, and we allowed that sin in our lives, and now our children, they're not trained, but yet they have seen it in our lives, and they don't even know what sin is anymore. They have been flooded by all these different media outlets that they don't know what sin is. You know, the thing of it is they hear us as parents. They hear us condemn sin. They hear us say, well, I can't believe that they would do this because that is sin. I can't believe that they would pass a law about this because that is sin. I can't believe that our nation would allow this because it is sin. But let me tell you something. Teaching your kids what sin is not teaching them to point a finger at somebody else's sin, but teaching them how to feel about their own sin. See, in my life, it's easy for me to point a finger at someone else's sin. It's easy for me to say, well, that group, they're sinners. That group, I can't believe that, they're sinning. But how long has it been since my children have seen my heart broken because sin came into my life? See, there was a time in my life that when sin came into my life, my heart was broken, that I would find a place and I would get on my knees and I would beg God to forgive me of my sin, and not to excuse me of my sin, but to forgive me of my sin and help me to turn away from my sin and not go back to it. See, my children don't know what it is to see their dad heartbroken, not because our world has accepted sin, not because our country has accepted sin, but they don't know what it is to see their dad heartbroken because sin has come into my life. That's training our children. It's a personal connection with our children. It's so easy for us. My kids and I, we talk about politics all the time. We talk about everything all the time. And yes, I do give them my ideas. I give them the way that I feel like they should believe. I give them the way that I feel like that they should feel about topics. But how many times have I sat down and told them, you know what? Dad failed. Dad comes short. Dad chose to sin. And God is tearing my heart out over this. See, we don't like to admit our sin. It's okay to admit everybody else's sin. But how long has it been since they've seen my heart broken because of my sin? We like to say that our heart's broken because we see how our country has walked away from God, because we see the things that we have chosen to follow in our country. We say that our heart's broken over those things. But what about when sin comes into our life? Is our heart broken over that sin? Or do we say, you know what? Everybody messes up. I say that. I say, you know what? Everybody messes up. I'm glad that God's going to pick me up, and God's going to, and yes, He will. The Bible tells us, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that God will forgive us our sins. Hallelujah! I need the grace and the mercy of God in my life. But I also need to be heartbroken over that sin. I need to be saying, God, help me to get away from that and not go back to that ever again. Our kids don't know how to feel about sin. They don't know how to respond to temptation. See, I don't know. I always tell my kids, you know, with temptation that comes along, there's always a way of escape out of that temptation. There's always a door. They don't know. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. We tell them that, but then what do they see in our lives? Do they see us conform or do they see us as transformed? We need to show them that there is a way of escape. So many times when I see people falling away from God and I see people leaving church and I see people growing cold on God, it's not because somebody in the church really hurt them that bad. It's not because God done something really bad in their life. It's because they conform to the world, they fell to a temptation, and now they've chosen to excuse that temptation and that failure in their life. If we're not careful, we'll all do it, won't we? We can all be guilty of that. I'm not pointing any fingers tonight. If I point any fingers, it would have to be right back at me. But my kids, do they know how to respond to temptation? Have I shown them with my life that, yeah, you may end up in a bad situation. You may end up somewhere that you shouldn't be. But instead of going along with what everybody else is doing, stand up for what's right. Stand up for what you know. Take a stand for God and get out of that situation. See, I feel like that even as I look at my life tonight, and I feel like as I look at my children, my son is 17 years old. I have a daughter that's 13. I have a daughter that's 11. And sometimes when I look, I'm not sure that I have trained them. There have been times that I've taken more times with a stinking old horse to train him than I have with my children. Yeah, we'll sort of, you know, if I go out there to that horse today, and I go out there and I pet him on the nose, and I have started some of them that has never, nobody has ever been on them. And I went out there and petted that old horse on the nose and said, you know what, one day I'm going to ride you. And I go out there about 3 days later, and I decide to throw a saddle up on him, and maybe he stands there and lets me put the saddle on him. And I say, oh boy, one day, I'm going to ride you. And then on about day 30, when I know that the person is going to come pick up that horse, I go, I better go ride that horse. You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to be picking me up off the ground because I didn't spend the time training. And I'm afraid sometimes with my kids that I have done that. I don't know that I've taught them exactly how they should feel about sin or what it is to be heartbroken over sin in their own life. Instead of worrying about, hey, listen, I'm not saying one bit that we should ever compromise sin. That Fellowship Baptist Church, we should never compromise the Word of God. If God said it's sin, and we should never, ever compromise that. We got to stand on the Word of God no matter what. And there may be a day coming shortly that is put to the test. There may be coming a time in the near future that is put to the test whether we'll stand on the Word of God or whether we won't. But we have always got to stand on the Word of God and never compromise. But at the same time, we have got to realize, instead of worrying about what everybody else is doing, how do I feel about sin in my life? Am I heartbroken over the sin in my life? Do I know how to respond to temptation? Is anybody else in here ever tempted? Sure. You ain't good. Amen, Rossi. Sure, we all have temptations. Hey, it may be something as simple as you get in the middle of a conversation at work that you shouldn't be a part of. It happens, don't it? And you're an oddball if you say, hey guys, I gotta go. Y'all have a good one. You're an oddball. Or if something comes up and you're in the middle of a situation that you shouldn't be, you're an oddball if you say, hey, I just don't think I want to be part of this. I'm going to step away. If we're even going to go ahead and say it, sometimes we're tempted by seeing the things that the world is partaking in, and we go, that looks like fun, and our flesh would enjoy it for a while. But if it's not with God, and if it's against God's word, we better run from it. We better flee from it. Just because everyone else may be doing it doesn't make it right. I hope my kids know what it is to take a stand. I've taught them what it is to take a stand for political reasons. I've taught them what it is to take a stand when an umpire makes a bad call. I've never been too ugly. I'll go ahead and throw that out. I've taught them what it is when someone else is wrong and you say, we were talking on the way to church tonight. I won't go into the situation because that would get into my opinion. But a guy said something, one of my customers said something today at work, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy is so uninformed about what's going on. And I was sharing that with my kids on the way to church tonight. And I'm glad to tell them, look, this guy, he's an uninformed. He don't know what he's talking about. Right here's really what's going on. But I think I'd probably been better off using that time to train them in God's word instead of what's going on in that situation. Look, I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures tonight. As we look at the things that are going on around us, in our country, in our lives, that is directly impacting each and every one of us, I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures tonight. I knew I wouldn't be very long. I don't like preaching these hard messages when they dig into my potato patch, so I wanted to be real short with this tonight. But 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another. You want to know why we're in the situation? Some of the reason we might be in the situation that we're in right now? Because pastors have become afraid to talk about current events. Pastors have become afraid to talk about things going on directly around us. Look, as long as I stay in the Word of God, and as long as I can back up what I say with Bible, I don't feel that I should be ashamed to preach about anything. I don't feel like I should back down from anything as long as I can back it up with the Word of God. And look, right here, if we'll go back to a final authority, see, this world don't want a final authority. That's another reason we're kind of in the mess we're in right now. They don't want an absolute truth. They don't want a final authority. But if you want to get to an absolute truth and a final authority, let's look at this. If we would live by this, then a lot of the things that are going on around us would go away overnight tonight. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know what? If I would look at verses number 8 and verses number 9 and apply them to my life, I won't have any problem living with other people and treating them the way that I should. Philippians chapter number 2, let's read verses number 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Wow. People want to talk about the Constitution. People want to talk about our rights. If you go back to the final authority, the absolute truth, it covers it all anyway. Let's read that again, verse number 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I live my life like Christ, there's a whole lot of the things that are going on around us right now that would go away just like that. If everybody would go back to the final authority, to the absolute truth that we don't want to accept, then a lot of the things that we're going through would be, this is what I'm asking you tonight. When we talk about training our children, let's train our children to the Word of God. Don't train them to the Republican Party, to the Democratic Party. Don't train them to some little book that you got at the house. I want to ask you to do this. As we think about training our children, let's train them to the final authority, the absolute truth. Because when it's all said and done and I stand before God, this is what I'm going to give an account to. This is what, when I stand before God, I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody's ever going to change that. But also, the Bible tells me that there is a judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that I'm going to give an account for the things that I've done in my body, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. And when I'm judged according to those things, it's not going to be about anything that this world has laid out for me. It's going to be about the final authority, the absolute truth. If we'll stick with this, church, we'll be fine. We'll love others the way we're supposed to love them. We'll treat others the way that we're supposed to treat them. We'll teach our kids what sin is. We'll teach them how to stand up against sin. We'll teach them how to escape sin. We'll teach them that even though everybody else may be doing it, that doesn't make it right. We will teach them the way that God has told us to train them. But let's not, we can't do it Sunday and Wednesday. There's got to be a whole lot of training in between that, or we end up being thrown off. Just like I talked about in the illustration with the horse. So tonight, as we get into this and as we looked at the scripture that we looked at, I believe there's a whole lot of things that we can take from this scripture that we can train our children with. Look, your children's got questions. They may not be asking them, but your children's got questions about things that are going on right now, about, hey, they might have even heard me say it on a Sunday morning, about foundations being laid right now that the Bible's been talking about. They've got questions. How long has it been since you set them down? How long has it been since I set mine down? Lord have mercy, I'll go ahead and admit a fault to y'all. My daughter, my youngest daughter, went horseback riding with Autumn's mom and dad. And while she was going horseback riding, she was up there in the mountain. Could have been just a vacation. But they were up there riding, and Her grandpa was telling me this, said, laying there one night, and he said, I was trying to go to sleep in the back of the horse trailer. He was kind of in the back of the horse trailer, and they were up in the tongue of the trailer where their mattress and everything was. And he said, and I heard Maggie up there say, it's time for our devotion. And she broke out her Bible, and they had a devotion and had prayer before they went to bed that night. Laid there, and I'm telling you, your kids want it. Your kids desire it. And I have failed as a parent. We don't do devotions in my house every night. We should, but we don't. Some of y'all are looking at me right now going, well, we do, preacher, and you're a failure. Pray for me. I need to do that in my house. I understand that. But we need to take, your kids want it. Your kids desire it. Your kids will accept it, especially from us. Are we training? Because if we don't change the process somewhere or the other, we've got a lot more to come than what we're dealing with right now. God is our only answer. This world's not going to give them God. School ain't going to give them God. Workplace ain't going to give them God. Athletics ain't going to give them God. They're going to get God from you and from church, from Sunday school, from youth. We need to be training our children, and I believe it'll solve a lot of our problems. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, even as I'm teaching tonight, I know that there are failures in my life. God, I know that there have been things that I should have been doing to train my children. God, I know I've messed up. There's time that I can't get back on some of those things. But God, I pray that you'll give me that desire, that you'll help me to put that priority in my life. I know my kids want it. I know they want that leadership in their life. They want someone to answer those questions. And we know those questions could be answered in the Word of God. And God, I pray that you'll help me as we go and just continue in our lives, God, to take the time to train our children, that you'll help us to have the time, God, to teach them what sin is, what it is to have a broken heart over sin, over our own sin, and to watch us that maybe when we fall and we make mistakes and we come short of your glory, not to excuse it, not to continue in it, but to ask for forgiveness and truly repent and turn away from it. God, I pray for our nation. God, I pray that you'll just touch. God, you know everything that's going on. You knew we were going to be here before we ever got here. And God, I pray that you'll help us as a church, that we will stand on the Word of God, that we will teach the Word of God, that we'll preach the Word of God, and that even through times like this, that we'll always trust you, that we'll always lean on you. And God, we know that you have the answers. And God, I know that one day, and I believe it is going to be sooner rather than later, that you're going to call the church out of here and help us to be a church that's ready, that's waiting, that's watching. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.